You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan. Maple Leafs back in action tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the hour. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, will join us in about 25 minutes. The calm before the storm for the Raptors tonight as well, because Houston is in town, and we were just talking about this during our little SportsCenter tee-up. When he was in Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook was a guy, you circled his lone appearance in Toronto. You waited for it.
Yeah, triple-double machine.
Triple-double machine, MVP caliber guy, and he still has that ability and those type of numbers and that level of talent, but it's a superstar-driven league.
And now usually, he's in the little side cart.
That's like, what it is.
Yeah. Like he's in the side cart on the motorcycle.
It's exactly what he is. He's Robin to Harden's Batman.
But Harden is that good.
He is that good. He's better than Westbrook. He's absolutely better. He's flashier. He's more efficient.
He's effortless. Harden.
Yep.
Like he looks like he's out for a Sunday stroll.
No, he's chirping with fans. Did you see that clip that went viral?
No, I didn't see that.
Some fan was yelling like, I didn't pay money or whatever to see a bunch of foul shots or whatever.
Yeah.
And he went back at him and said, yeah, you didn't pay money to see a bunch of fouls either. Like, tell your team, your boys, to stop fouling me and I won't keep going to the line.
Yeah.
Like, don't blame me. It was a great response mid-game.
Yeah.
Just going back and forth with fans. And
he just kind of floats up the court.
Mm-hmm. And he is, he's a definition of what the NBA is all about. Like Kyrie Irving, you know, it didn't sit well. Like he was in the small little cart with LeBron, so he wanted to get out. Kevin Durant, when he showed up in Golden State, that always seemed to cause a bit of a problem. Like, who's the man? Someone's got to be the man in the NBA.
Don't you think Kyrie would like to be back in the sidecar?
Probably.
Like, in a hypothetical? Like
he could have gone to L.A. this summer. He decided to go to Brooklyn and team up with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, in a year.
In a year. So he gets to be the man and set his own tone. But anyway. So, yeah, that's going on tomorrow night. Izzy Gutierrez of ESPN will join us in a few minutes. Freddie Anderson playing tonight. First back-to-back for him in a long time. And Sheldon Keefe admitting, you know, he'd prefer not to play him, but the circumstances call for it because Anderson said he wants to do it. He wants to play. And I appreciate that type of leadership. I think it's more symbolic than anything else. Like, we got to start digging out here, guys.
I love it. I guess my question would be, if the sports science people are driving the bus, why all of a sudden can you break protocol? Or why are they willing to do it in this one-off situation? I liked it. I said in our pregame show yesterday, I have no problem. I think Freddie Anderson can handle both. Carey Price played back-to-back recently. Markstrom just did it on the weekend. He's a big, strong goaltender. He's a top 10 goaltender, probably top 5 in the league, realistically. He's that good of a goaltender.
I think, Jamie, it's the circumstances. They got to get a win, and they got a right. tough road trip coming up. And
But that's exactly my argument. It's all right for circumstance, but when Mike Babcock was saying, you know, well, I just do what the sports science people tell me. Do you think behind the scenes he was fighting for the circumstance?
And what happens going, Hold on this show? Something massive happens?
Right.
Blow out the commercials. We have to play the commercials every day, but if something massive happens, blow them out. You're commercial-free for an hour.
Well, was that massive last night, losing 6-1 to Philly in early December?
I don't know. I think it's massive when the goaltender says, I want to play tomorrow, give me the net.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it's great, but my whole point is you can't give me the reasoning on other times.
Then. Right, right. Where like, there have been other opportunities
right. In
past years where you're like, why isn't Freddie going tonight? Well,
you know
the
what?
Numbers would suggest. Why is protocol broken tonight?
That's my only question. I'm not questioning the decision by Frederick Anderson because I think it's gutsy. He goes in there and says, I want the net again, and they break protocol for him. I think it's great. I think it's the right call. I'm wondering if Sheldon was fine with it, if he had to run that up the chain, if Kyle was fine with it, if the sports science team knows his body well enough and goes, yeah, he's fine with it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just a knee-jerk reaction. That's my question. I'm not privy to the
chain of command
behind the scenes.
Yeah, there seems like there's a lot of, like, you know, bureaucracy. Like, you got to go through a lot of different parties, and it's like, why am I asking you? I'm the player. I get paid, and I want to play.
Right.
But, you know, to your point, it seems like everything else is somewhat regimented the way that they go about their business.
Right.
I think we're getting a little bit Toronto right now. We're talking about sports science. He wants to play. He's playing tonight. It's a big game. Get a win, and let's talk about it tomorrow.
That's a good call. My only question was as to why
we're Torontoizing this subject.
That's what we do.
I know it's what we do, but let's enjoy the sporting moment of it, the sporting competitive element of it, where he wants to play. He's going to play. It's a good match.
Tantalizing
match.
I get a FUD for that.
No, you don't.
No, it's too late, man. You needed to drop that last night on the panel. It doesn't count on this show. This show doesn't hold any weight.
What are you talking about?
This show, you don't get credit for anything you do or say on this show.
Yeah, because we say anything.
This show doesn't count for anything.
Yeah.
Like, we're shocked when we can get, you know, people of esteem and reputable individuals to come on the show.
Like our next guest.
Like Israel Gutierrez is on hold, and I'm sure he's thinking, why didn't the producer tell me this when you sent me the request? Because I would have just flushed it and never agreed to come on. But it's the show where you can say whatever you want. It goes nowhere. It falls flat. From the NBA on ESPN and ESPN's Around the Horn, here's Izzy Gutierrez. How you doing, Izzy?
Well, to be honest, I'm doing great, but what I was thinking at the time was, wow, these are people that think just like me, because I feel like I lower the quality of every show I go on, and I don't understand why people would watch. So thank you.
Trust me, with what we do every day, you are a major bump up. You're a
bar riser for us, so there's high expectations.
Maybe I should say less then and just start charging for work.
Yeah, that's probably a very wise decision. So this ESPN poll has been making the rounds. We're about 20 games into the season, give or take, for most teams. The MVP poll results, and Giannis 1, LeBron 2, Doncic 3, Harden 4, Pascal Siakam 5.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't mean anything because it's not a real award. But
I know, but usually you get the old eyes from Toronto, whatever. He's not going to.
What do you make of that, Izzy?
I mean, so my least favorite thing, and I'm not by any way insulting the question, don't get me wrong, because this is very interesting to speak about, but my least favorite thing in the NBA is to really go over the early season MVP favorites, because in my history of covering the league, dating back to like when Elton Brand played and was, you know, the MVP 6 weeks, 8 weeks into the season, it never really plays out this way. Like there's a significant shift and who the MVP could or will be, you know, at some point in the season. And so it's kind of, you know, it's really just for, to me, situations like this, where you can talk about a Pascal Siakam and say, man, that guy has sort of put himself in this category of player. And I think if you just look at, you know, what the Raptors have and what they obviously lost in Kawhi and how they are still playing at, what, 15-5 and his numbers increasing as his team needs it, then I think, of course, it's fair to put him in that conversation. And it's fun, frankly, when you get the sort of, for lack of a better term, out of nowhere superstar. Because, you tell me the people that were saying 2 years ago that Siakam's going to be, you know, in the MVP conversation two seasons from now, even if it was, you know, in early December. So, I think it's legit, and I think he's a really fun player, and I think it makes for just an intriguing team, too, because he's not a very predictable player either in terms of, you know, how you defend him.
Well, the guy who finished fourth on this list is in town tomorrow night, and that's James Harden. And, you know, his resume, his stats speak for themselves. But what I've been interested by is Russell Westbrook and his profile. You know, we were talking about this prior to having you on, Izzy. When he came up here once a year with Oklahoma City, it was a kind of a must-have ticket. It was a buzz in town. You knew Russell's here, let's go. And I'll be honest with you, in Toronto, teeing up the game tomorrow, it's all Harden. We're going to see Harden if you have tickets.
Yeah.
Have you had that same kind of reaction? Are you surprised by that? Like Westbrook, he's really taken a second seat here.
Yes. I mean, I have, but for a couple of reasons. One is, I think we kind of recognize with Russell Westbrook that he was a player whose athleticism was the reason he was great. It separated him from everybody else who was, you know, had his skill set or his desire or whatever, you know, other characteristics you want to label him with. And you knew that eventually that was going to die down and it wouldn't be as spectacular. And he'd still be good to great, but not as spectacular. And I think we've seen that with Russell. You know, he can't really work out much in the off season, so that he can sort of extend his career for longer. And while he is, you know, arguably is still the most explosive point guard out there, he's not the same guy. But it's also just because James Harden is doing historic stuff. And it's not just another teammate. Like, even with him and Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook was, you know, his young athletic self and could see those two as some level of peers if they were to grow together, maybe. But with James Harden right now, what he's doing is at a different level than where Russell is in his career. And for him to play second fiddle to anybody, you'd have to be like a significant second, role. You'd have to be significantly better than him. And right now, James is. And it's just, you know, regardless of what you think about the aesthetics, he's putting up numbers that haven't been put up in this league. And it's like Wilt, basically. So I think it's more of that than it is of Russell just declining or settling for this role.
With Izzy Gutierrez of the NBA on ESPN, ratings in pro sports, so cyclical. I mean, it comes and goes. A couple of years ago, the NFL was down. Now they're way up. This year, the NBA is down across the board. And everyone's got a different theory on that. LeBron being in the West, Golden State falling off a cliff, Zion Williamson still hasn't played yet.
How you watch sporting events.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Cuban's been suggesting, you know, all these games are on cable and that factors in, although they've always been on cable. They've always been on ESPN and TNT. Right. Do you have a take on that, Izzy? Why do you think this is going on?
I think it's a combination of natural evolution, a little bit of what Mark Cuban's talking about, not just in the technology, but just in the way we experience sporting events. The NBA has the good fortune of still keeping our attention because it hits you with a lot of drama. There's fast-paced action. There's athleticism. But if you start telling us in any sort of way, and I just mean sort of, I want to say like the ADD community, but I feel like that's everybody these days. So if you start telling us there's reasons to not watch, or, hey, we don't have to because we can catch it later, or the real meaningful stuff is later, you know what, it's going to cost me 3 hours of sleep. No, it's not worth it. I think it's a combination of that. The regular season is not meaning as much. And also, you know, a lot of the stars going to the West Coast and affecting the East Coast numbers. But I also think that it's not a good indicator of the interest, our ratings. I think it's an slightly outdated measure. And so, I mean, when I talk sports with people every day, it's most people in this time of year asking me about football, but, you know, a lot of people talk basketball and they love, they love a lot of the drama involved, and whether it be a Kyrie Irving and how he's dealing with a locker room or a leadership role, or if it's, you know, LeBron James trying to chase Michael Jordan. I think all the narratives in the NBA sort of live loudly among sports fans, and so I think that's more of an indicator of how well the league is doing. I think we're all just kind of sitting and waiting for the next explosive moment. Hey, when do I have to watch these next few games? Is it because it's LeBron versus Kawhi? Is it because, you know, the Lakers might win a championship? I think the drama is sort of unfolding, whereas certain years past, we sort of had it all laid out for us. This is the drama. These are your storylines, and you have to watch every single element, every single chapter. Now I think they're just sort of evolving, and we're not sure where we have to have all of our attention.
Great stuff. Always great catching up with you. Thank you for doing this, Izzy.
Thank you.
Izzy Gutierrez of ESPN. That's a pretty valid point, I think, in terms of kind of knowing the past 5 years, it was always Golden State. When Golden State played LeBron, you had to watch. When they played Houston, you had to watch. This year in the NBA, it's got it's an NHL element to it as well. You never really know where the story's going until you get closer to the end and kind of get a read on it. Like in the NBA, we know the LA teams are going to be very good.
Dude, those four or five years, Giannis is great. You knew that Cleveland was playing Golden State. It was an automatic.
4 years
Barkley
in a row.
Barkley said it every year. This is a fun start to the season, but we know this is happening at the end of the year.
This year, you have no idea what the combination is going to be, which I think is exciting, but it's uncharted territory for a lot of NBA fans, so it's, I don't know. I don't know if that's why the ratings are down. I think a lot of times it's just, it happens, and then in 3 months, it's going to go up again. You know, the NFL, remember, two, three years ago, they were dipping, and everyone was blaming Kaepernick and kneeling and protesting. Now they're way up across the board. Comes and goes.
Yeah.
And the NFL season's been a, you know, it's been an entertaining one. It's football season, college football, and all that kind of stuff.
There's been some great storylines, though.
Yeah,
the
great storylines.
Really,
NFL's been unreal.
Yeah.
It's been a great season of entertainment in the NFL.
I feel like the NBA kind of starts slow because their games, the kind of the guys just kind of play well, but the scores are kind of out of whack. Like,
there's not many surprise teams either. You kind of know who's going to do what, and where they're going and where we're going. And it's like, all right, get to the new year, and then let's go. We'll see where we go here. Be 40 games left, give or take, and let's see.
Where you look at, like, if you just compared the NHL and the NBA, the NHL has been so much more fascinating this year, just because the unpredictability of it. Like, the good teams you thought were going to, there's been so much ups and downs and massive swings. Like, not just one or two teams.
Look at the Minnesota Wild, man. We described them as the worst team in the league by far.
And I did a game there the other night, Friday? They have a crazy schedule coming up. They play 18 of 22 at home. You didn't realize, you go through their schedule, they weren't at home at all. They've played almost half their road games already this season.
Do you know who they're ahead of in the standings?
The Leafs?
Yeah, I saw that.
They both have 30 points. They have a game in hand on Toronto.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at that. Believe me,
speaks to how well Minnesota, they were down 2-0 in Florida, and they said, no, we're going to take that. They beat them 4-2 last night.
Yeah.
Like, they've won four in a row. They're playing well. But like you said, 3-4 weeks ago, they were Bruce Boudreau. He was
hello
taking runs at his team and was feeling very insecure.
Zucker made a comment about him.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
And now all of a sudden they've fought themselves back into it here. Yeah. Minnie's back in the race. They're ahead of Nashville.
Yeah. Which Nashville,
that is crazy. Nashville is the biggest, is one of the biggest disappointments.
I thought New Jersey was going to be better. Like, I think they had a nice offseason.
Not being able to play anymore is a massive factor.
It is, but PK Subban,
massive factor.
Like that, you know, you make a trade like that
for
sure pennies on the dollar.
Taylor Hall would have more than four goals too.
Yeah,
you put all those things together.
Wayne Simmons, they went and traded for that Gusev kid from Vegas and signed him to a 2-year deal at $4.5 million.
I don't remember seeing him on a highlight pack.
No, but you know, Jack Hughes, another level for. Heischer, like, they look to be a team that was kind of on the rise.
If you looked at the beginning of the season and you put all those things together, you would say this will translate into something productive, a playoff team.
Yep.
And they've fallen flat in their face.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how how that unfolds, too.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in about 10 minutes. The Blue Jays, they're waiting to make something happen. They're waiting to make something happen.
They just fell short on Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler signs 5 years.
118
in Philly. Wait, they'll leak it through the media. The Jays will get it out there that they offered like 117.
Which it was 94.
Who knows how serious they were. The amount of peddling that is out there. Jays are in on everybody. They're having conversations. They're right out there.
Right.
Okay, well, when are they actually going to close a deal?
I think, like, they had comments about last year, too, where it was like, we had no idea last year was going to happen. We had different ideas. Come on.
They knew exactly what was going to happen a year
ago. And they know what's going to happen this year, too.
They'll be just as bad if they don't get pitching. If their pitching is as bad as it was a year ago and as thin as it was, the kids might grow a little bit, but they're not going to be a good team again.
Oh.
Like, I'm not expecting them to be a playoff team next year, but I'm expecting them or hoping they'll take a leap forward.
Yeah, you gotta start,
like, find
moving.
10 wins next year. You're not going to do it with Matt Shoemaker as your number one guy.
Yeah,
you know, or throwing kids out there and letting them try to develop on the fly. I don't know if that's going to work, man. I know it won't. Not in this division. The Yankees and Sox and Rays will eat them alive. But, yeah, Wheeler was a guy everyone thought they'd be in on that. No, Philly, 5 years. Philly paid the money.
Yeah.
Went out there and got their guy. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Double shot of Jerry's After Dark. Two more takes from Jerry.
I think you misspoke there.
Two more. Horny hot takes.
Yes.
From Jerry.
And you have to say, and you know.
Exactly what I mean.
What are you looking at me for with those type of eyes?
I don't know. He always leans over to you and just gives you the stare.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. That's a comfortable introduction, eh, Dregs?
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, never.
100% comfortable.
All right, good man. Good to see you. Good to have you.
Although I am watching and O is looking at you. Have you guys ever ordered a smoked turkey drumstick by itself in a restaurant?
No. Like the long roasted one? but not a smoked one.
Like a,
Henry
VIII type of thing?
Exactly, right.
The drumstick.
Like the Fred Flintstone, for sure. And so I didn't have one myself, but I saw one. We're in a restaurant in Whitby last week. And two buddies ordered these. You could order them individually, wrapped in bacon.
Wow.
And I mean, it looked okay, and from all accounts, it was an absolute grand slam. Mm. So as those men were eyeing the drumsticks, that's how O was looking at you, Brian.
Well, I'm not sure how comfortable I am
anymore.
Like
a bacon-wrapped drumstick.
Just hungry in the middle.
Just
hungry.
A hint of smoke to it. Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. Anytime you wrap bacon around basically anything, it's a grand slam.
I hear you, brother.
Effectively.
It's actually at a restaurant. You know, Brian, you live out this way, Bollocks in Whitby.
Oh, so. I'm well aware.
Head in there and check it out.
Good little spot. Good little chip truck right around there, Dregs.
Yeah, I know.
Quick story. My financial advisor found his dog by going into the woods and cooking bacon to get the wafts in the air. And I was like, dude, weren't you afraid of bears or something? It's up in Collingwood, and sure enough, dog came back.
No way.
And no bears? Everything
nothing. Good, no animals, but the dog just wheeled around the corner, and it was like a movie. You saw him in the distance. I'm like... You've got to be kidding me.
How do you cook bacon in the woods?
Like you just bring a little grill.
Like a skillet or something.
A little cast iron skillet. You're good to go. It reminds me, I was going through the internet this morning. I came across a story out of Manitoba. Some dude runs over what he thinks is a German shepherd, right?
It's in a Manitoba. Wolf.
Nah, well, close. It was like a hybrid coyote, like a coy-wolf or something. But this creature, obviously out of its mind, he picks it up off the gravel road, throws it into his car because he's heading to work, and drops it off at a vet clinic.
Well, now you guess the Tommy Boy situation happens where the deer comes alive in the back seat.
Well, apparently trying to get it out of the vehicle was a bit of an incident. But he's petting it as he's driving to the vet clinic. I think he just ran over Buddy's dog, and it's like this wild wolf thing that actually came alive when he got to the clinic. So
that would be so terrifying.
He's lucky.
A wolf alive in your car.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Did you say George Foreman in the woods? I thought you said that.
Like, how are you going to plug it into a tree?
I knew you were going to come back on that. For crying out loud, there's probably a battery one.
Some sort of solar panel that you get stashed away from.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot going on in the NHL, a lot going on here in Toronto as well. We've been talking about Freddie Anderson making his decision to play tonight, which we all admire. I mean, it goes against the grain a little bit in terms of the modern NHL, but Mitch Marner's returning tonight. We haven't talked a lot about Mitch Marner returning, and I think his absence has been it's been pretty evident. I mean, there have been times where this team has lacked life, and he's a life saver in a lot of ways, and he plays with a certain energy, and obviously I think the team And Leaf fans everywhere excited that he's going to return tonight.
Yeah, and he'll be gone tonight, right? I mean, maybe he's a step behind just given the fact he's been out of the lineup for the past number of weeks, and that's a tough injury to bounce back from, right, and be at top speed. But, you know, the motivation's certainly going to be there. But, you know, he's one man, and he can be a driver, as Babcock used to describe him. And I expect that he'll play that way tonight against the Avs. But, you know, it's got to be about a lot more than just Mitch Marner. I mean, the game we watched last night, man, that had a pretty big aroma to it, didn't it? In all aspects. And, you know, I like some of what I heard coming out of that game. You know, Freddie Anderson saying, look, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter if I give up a handful of goals. You know, we need to collectively play better. It's more about the team. I didn't love what I heard from Austin Matthews. You know, talking about, you know, they quit after the empty netter. Come on. I mean, the game was in hand essentially at that point. And he was responsible, primarily for at least two goals. So what's his game going to look like tonight? You know, it needs to be a lot better on both sides of the game.
Yeah, well,
as far as he goes, he's had a couple comments this year. Unacceptable. We got to look each other in the mirror. That can't happen. We can't quit on our number one goaltender. Yeah. If you're not going to follow it up, you can just go out there and blab whatever you want after any game, and it just really doesn't matter. It's just lip service.
Yeah, exactly. That's where my focus.
It's been four or five times this year.
Yeah. My focus is on him tonight, not so much Marner and Anderson. What does Matthews have tonight? Highest paid player, I think the most talented guy, but can he be dangerous every single shift? I haven't seen it in a long, long time.
No, I'm with you on that. And again, not to pile on this guy, because I think as a young player, he's learned pretty quickly not to give the media in Toronto more than you have to. But that's starting to turn on him a little bit. You know, now we learn that Freddie Anderson goes to Sheldon and says, look, I want back in the net. I want to be part of the fight. Well, that to me is pretty motivating. Right? You know, you've got this goaltender who just got lit up, and he's like, no, I'm taking the crease back because I'm in this thing with these guys. What I would have preferred to hear from Matthews postgame was, I'm not worried about Freddie. I'm not worried about anyone else's game. I was lousy tonight. I need to be better. And if I'm better, then that'll make the team better. And I didn't hear that.
The Habs got a win last night.
Yeah.
They needed that one.
Grinded it out.
And, like, they had a lot of greats in the building. Max Domi blows a wheel on the carpet.
Oh, that's tough.
He handled it so well.
I know. Well.
And he doubled down on Twitter today. That was great.
Yeah.
You know, they need some positivity. Our buddy Tony Marinaro has been losing his mind up there.
Hasn't been happy in Montreal.
Yeah.
And that's all you need is, you know, you get a couple wins in a row and people forget pretty quickly.
Yeah and look, guys, I mean, even though they were in a horrendous stretch of winless and eight, you know, the sense that I was getting from the group there was that, you know, they were still competing. They were battling in games. You know, Philadelphia's playing well right now. They get a point out of that game. The Boston game essentially was a 1-1 hockey game. You know, a sketchy penalty call. And then the Bruins, I think it was Backus scores on the power play. And it ends up being a 3-1 game. But, you know, Montreal felt like for the most part they were playing well. But you take out two guys out of that lineup, Drouin and Paul Byron, and now Claude Julien can't use his depth. He can't go with four lines. And Drouin was such a big part of that power play. What all this exposes is the work that Marc Bergevin still has to get done here. You know, he desperately needs a power play quarterback, you know, a power play quarterback defenseman. And so that frees up Shea Weber to use that one-timer and blast it away. So that's one of the elements that they need. But anybody who was screaming for Claude Julien's neck and all of that stuff, that's not real, because you can see it in the way that the team is still playing, and maybe they kind of took some of the heat off with that win last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's been a wild NHL. We've talked about it multiple times today throughout the past couple of weeks.
Leafs were winless in what, six?
Yep.
Montreal eight, and aren't they tied for points?
They're tied in points.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, like Minnesota. Tampa. We mentioned Minnesota.
Yeah, and Tampa has four games, I think, on the Leafs and are 1 point back.
Four games in hand with they're 1 point behind them.
It's like this is going to be all season long, I believe, unless somebody just goes on a heater.
Yeah, and it's why we're not seeing an abundance of trades or meaningful trades, because, you know, normally at this time, and I don't have the history book in front of me to read how many were created last year, you know, by post U.S. Thanksgiving. I don't, but, you know, just again, the feedback you get from managers, they're talking, but they're growing weary of talking to each other because everybody's in the same boat. You know, you're battling each other. You're neck and neck in the standings. It's real difficult to make a trade that matters.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
but wouldn't you want to get ahead of it and be the team that makes a move and says, you know what, I want to make a move here?
Well, there are some teams, like Boston could make a move. Washington could make a move.
Montreal could make a move.
Right, well, but they're fighting, though, right? Like, Boston's in, and they're going to cruise, and they want to win a Stanley Cup and believe they can.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm most interested in the team that the Leafs are playing tonight. You know, when you talk about, you know, the Taylor Hall sweepstakes, if that's even fair, from a trade perspective, Colorado's got to be in that, don't they? I mean, he'd be an excellent fit there. They've got the cap space to do it, and they've got the wherewithal to consider signing him, you know, to the extension after the fact. The pill that's hard to swallow, though, is what is the ask going to be? What's the return? And that return is going to be adjusted if he extends with the team that he goes to. So you might be talking about an extra conditional first-round pick if he signs a contract. But I look at Colorado. I mean, Brad Treliving's pulse is probably coming down to just above normal, given everything that he's had to go through in Calgary. Sooner than later, he's going to put eyes on his roster and go, okay, I got to do something here, even though they seem to be playing a bit better of late. So maybe Taylor fits there. And Montreal, like, Burge has cap space again. Yeah, what's he got planned long term? The issue all those teams, though, is exactly what I said. They don't want to spend the young assets, you know, and take a gamble on a player that maybe, even though as good as Hall is, you know, are you comfortable with a 7-8 year extension?
That's what everybody says, though. They don't want to risk. They don't want to risk, but ultimately you don't do nothing. And I don't know, sometimes you got to play for the now, don't you, Darren?
Oh, buddy. And you know, Marc Bergevin isn't worried about his contract, his time in Montreal. I shouldn't even explain it this way, but he's not going to be around in 4 years from now if things don't get better in Montreal. I mean, he knows that. That's not breaking news. So if you feel like Taylor Hall is going to make you that much better, man, I think you got to swing for the fence, don't you?
I think it's also the draft pick. It's become much more complicated.
Yeah.
Where if there's going to be this level of parity, if half the league, if not more of it, isn't sure if they're getting in or missing, trading a future first-round pick
is
a huge gamble.
We saw it last year, and I know, remember out west? Like, the Oilers were 4 points out of the playoff spot for the longest time, but they had five teams to climb.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, like, throwing in the towel, they're like, well, we still have McDavid, still have Draisaitl. I still think we're going to see that down the stretch here. It may be out east this time.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah,
the only time the first-round pick looks good is if you win the cup. You're like, wow, it's worth the gamble. Or get to a final.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and that's what I'm saying. It's one thing to do it as you're right up against the trade deadline and you've got a better idea of who you are.
Right.
Like, Montreal can't trade a first-round pick right now. It could be seventh overall.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
that's
like,
but you're right. The only difference is, too, is at some point, like O's saying, you've got to take a gamble. You've got to dig in and go, okay, you know, our core, we've got young players, but we've got two veteran players in Price and Weber. You know, you've got to figure out how. And to me, I think it would come back to, what would be the asking price? What would that even look like for Taylor Hall right now?
Yeah, it'll be similar to what Vegas had to pay for Mark Stone. A different circumstance, but maybe similar to a package like the one San Jose put together for Erik Karlsson. Karlsson had a year left on his deal. So you're talking about a good young prospect.
Right.
You know, like I'm going to talk about Erik Brännström tonight. My sense is he could be a healthy scratch in Edmonton tonight. But I still think that Brännström is going to be potentially a star in the NHL. I mean, he's got that level of upside. So you would need a piece like that and then a first-round pick. And again, depending on if you're able to sign that player, there's got to be something conditional that's attached to it as well.
All right, buddy. We'll catch you on that panel tonight. Oilers-Sens.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Don't forget to bail on winter and win a spot on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break. It's an ultimate hockey vacation from bookseats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, four nights accommodations, and tickets to both games in late Feb. To enter, follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and at bookseats.com. Find our latest Super Fan Spring Break post and tag who you will be bringing on this trip. And on Friday, tune into Overdrive. And if we announce your name as the winning handle, you have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim your prize. This is the longest read of all time. Every single day. It's not the grappler's problem. It's my problem. I got to get through it. It's a long read.
It is a long read.
Visit tsn1050.ca for all the details. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. A double shot of Viagra. Jerry's hottest takes next.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
How about two more?
Double Viagra.
Jerry's got two more hot takes.
No.
Horny hot takes. Let's hear from Jerry.
John Carlson thinks he's Bobby Orr, and he'll put up 90 or more points this season. Jerry wears his sneakers to Washington every time. I bet John Carlson wears them to the games.
Jerry wears his sneakers to Washington.
In the White House every year. You gotta wear that rubber if you have to.
By the way, I pay attention. Jerry wears those sneakers everywhere. The draft, everywhere.
I think he's got a bad back.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason for wearing shoes.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
Got a nice suit on, but he's got black sneakers on.
Yeah. John Carlson, 90 points.
90?
He's on pace for over 100, I believe, right now.
No way. 0%.
I'm not zero.
Brent Burns is just a point machine. He had like 82 last year. He's not getting 90.
I think on that team he could, though. That's the scary part. That power play, he's the guy who puts it to Ovi. Ovi's got a quiet 20 again, eh?
Oh, yeah, he'll get 50.
Out of nowhere.
He'll have a quiet, sneaky 50.
Yeah.
He'll sneak up on Gretzky and we won't even know.
Yeah. I'm 18% on Carlson. Actually, no, 28%. I got to give him some love. 90's rich, but
90, that's... When was the last time a defenseman had 90?
That I don't know.
Like Brian Leetch in the early 90s? I don't even know.
Probably.
I'm going to say 40%. Like, at some point, it's going to come back to life. I think 80 feels like a lock if he's healthy.
Yeah.
But that extra 10, that is tough.
The Raptors never fear the beard because they'll keep James Harden to under 30 points tomorrow night. Hopefully, the Rockets do the same thing the Jazz did the night before the game. And Jerry knows exactly where they went.
Jerry would know that. No, he probably would know that.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he
wanted
would.
To get into one.
And I have a feeling that Houston may be doing the exact same thing.
And by the way, this percentage, I have never been more confident about a zero in my life. Under 30 for Harden?
Yeah.
Look what they've done to LeBron, Kawhi. Embiid had 0 points. 0 points.
But where was Toronto in the strip club scene? Remember?
Not very good, actually. He always carves up Toronto. That's why I think it was a bogus
But then that
experiment.
Means he's going to get a lot of points.
Yes. He is going to put up points because historically he has, and right. I guess that means he doesn't love, you know, the gentlemen's clubs.
I've just seen
he's hitting
Kara
30.
And the girls on SportsCenter. Every time it says Harden underneath, it's always 40, 30, 35.
Yeah, that's what he does. He gets 30 in his sleep.
Yeah, you're right. 30 in his sleep.
But Nick Nurse, coming off a game where he can kind of get on his guys. They didn't play that well last night. I'm going to give it 30%.
I'll give it 10. That's it.
There's a chance, man. Embiid, 0. Doncic, not so great. LeBron, like 11 points. Damian Lillard, what did he have, 3 points or something?
I'm 8%.
Okay. You guys aren't feeling...
Not feeling it. James Harden.
I understand who it is. It's Nick Nurse.
I understand that, too. As much as we love
Don't disrespect the shades. Nick Nurse will be in the video room right now working on a game plan.
True.
All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Over the number in the Maple Leaf game tonight. What do you guys think scoring-wise?
4.5.
Oh, yeah.
No, no.
It's 6.5 is the number, but I'm thinking 4-3 tonight.
I had a buddy that got rinsed last night in the over-under. He was, like, watching the last 40 seconds. He's like, are you kidding me?
Oh, he had the under.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the most gutless over in hockey history.
That is gutless.
He was made in the shade, under.
That I didn't even think about that cover.
Think about that, getting greased by that.
So gutless.
It is. I'd say over tonight.
I think over,
I think
too.
Both teams could go off here.
Speaking of gambling, there's a story out of Arizona. This is sickening. Sickening. A $14.6 million jackpot was not claimed. The winning ticket was sold. Someone had the winning ticket. And the deadline passed. You have 180 days to show up and claim your prize.
Yeah.
They didn't show up.
Somebody's got it in their bag.
Someone,
you know, I buy lottery tickets and I keep them in my...
So what do they do with the winnings?
It just goes back. I guess it goes back into the pot.
Jesus, Murphy.
I bought a Powerball ticket in New York a year ago and I forgot to check it. It's in my bag.
Are you being serious right
now?
I'm
not lying.
So you could have...
I could be worth $400 million.
But you know, not, because it's passed.
I tell my buddies when it's big in the Powerball, I'm like, get a ticket and get me one, too, and take a picture of it, and it's mine.
I forgot to get a check.
No, you'd never get it.
Don't ever do that, man.
I know. I've got multiple. Every time I go to Alberta, I buy something out there, and I forget to check it.
I don't know how I could live. Imagine 14.6. You had the winning ticket, and you forgot about it, or you misplaced
it
or something.
Bag or something. Yeah. It's terrible. It's ridiculous.
Anyway. Continuing with my best bets, over the number in that game, I'm on St. Louis and Pittsburgh tonight, and I'm on Edmonton at home against Ottawa. Throw down 20, you can score 80. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs in action tonight. Raps, Houston tomorrow night. Big Thursday night or tomorrow as well. Dallas taking on the Bears.
Are you back on the clock?
You're on the clock. Maybe... Al's brother's on the clock. We'll see.
Let's end the show with the alarm. Can you give it to me?
No, we don't have enough time. Call me Al. Call me Al. You got about 24 hours, Al. Pick 'em and pick 'em well. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clear Out sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan ClearOut sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.